The big news from the circus this year is the end of the line for the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, the big name and the former Big Top, shut down months ago after more than 100 years in business. But the end of that one big circus by no means closes the book on circuses generally. They're still going strong, often minus the animals, and people are learning circus skills anew, including in Ashland, which hosts the first ever Lunacy Festival this weekend and next, featuring the Cirque Center, Flying Actor Studio, and more acts, both local and not. James Donlan is the teacher at the Flying Actor Studio, performer himself, and the organizer of the Lunacy Festival. Welcome, James. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how did this set of events come together?
Well, it's interesting you talk about the circus. My specialty throughout almost 50 years has been physical comedy, which includes the clown. And the clown is really misunderstood. We have the drunk clowns under the toilet, which a lot of Americans have an image of that. We have the scary clowns. Then you go all the way to the extreme of most Shakespeare plays have fools that have the clownesque. So the jester or the fool has been around for centuries. Some of our contemporary clowns would be like Robin Williams was a you could call him a clown. Jim Carrey. But it's interesting that the clown in the circus is celebrating the power of the human spirit. So circus acts traditionally are the power of what a human can do with physics, right? Gravity, being in the air, turning somersaults, taming the animals, you know, what this great human being can do. So the clown serves the purpose of embracing the human spirit. So it's almost like the same kind of process with human emotions. So quite easily the clown has been in the tradition of the circus for ages. But the clown is all, especially in countries of Europe, the clown is a classic form in itself. Like if you say you're a clown in Europe, they'll usually say, where did you study?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tradition that borrows from many, many different art forms. In fact, you could say it's the ultimate form of acting because there's no boundaries. You can play music. You can speak. You can do a somersault. You can have a pet with you. You can do just about anything, stand on your head and recite Shakespeare. And that fits in the genre. So it's an ultimate, consummate form of acting. And to do it well, you have to be a good actor. The truth is in the eyes. And just taking the basic clown nose, which draws attention to your eyes. You know, the eyes are the window to your soul. So if you're lying, you're lying. If you're having joy, you're feeling joy. So it's a very powerful form that has been somewhat distorted in American culture. But in many parts of the world, the clown figure is a caretaker of a culture. Most cultures have clown figures, especially indigenous culture. There is a figure in the village or the town that has the liberty to comment and to be satirical about what's going on. And through that, the people kind of look at themselves and embrace themselves and either have solutions or laugh at themselves and so forth.
So it sounds like instead of physical feats of daring, the clown does emotional feats of
daring. Emotional feats of daring. But, of course, you know, they say, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So very often clowning becomes physical, and it's image-based and it's visual, and it goes into the surreal and the absurd. The famous play Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett was actually conceived as a clown play, which is Beckett would have even spoke like that. So it's an art form that's elusive. You have to train to develop many different skills. And what the interesting thing about clowning is that there's a connection with the audience. Part of the craft is who's out there. The actor, the audience becomes another actor. So you develop this idea of you see the audience. You don't have to look at them all the time. Shakespeare's fools don't necessarily look at the audience. But, you know, there's this idea of who are those people, why are they here, and how can I kind of go into that heart that's beating in their breast.
So the Lunacy Festival is centered around clowns?
I'd say physical comedy, but also, you know, that genre of the circus. There we have aerialists, juggling. I guess you could say this genre is approaching the world with another eye, the metaphysical eye. And, you know, for example, when something absurd happens around you, most of the time people laugh very often. So that, you know, you don't have to have a contrived story or an event that creates humor. Just something that's out of the norm or something that's a little different, something that's curious will usually invite laughter. So this festival is based around this idea of the poetic kind of undercurrent of the joy of living, you might say. It's kind of esoteric what I'm talking about, but it's a good time, and it celebrates being alive through humor and physical feats and use of time and space. We have some great musicians involved. Recent graduate of the music department here, a percussionist named Jared Brown, who's actually performing a piece called Aphasia by Mark Applebaum, who may have been on your station at one point. He comes up here as a guest from Stanford often.
Yes.
He's a very well-known modern composer. So he has this score where physicality is actually the thing you're watching in relation to the – it's almost like a human dance, meaning – more pedestrian than an abstract, you know, basic sense of movement.
All right, so that's so you just mentioned one set of performers. There's I see Flying Actor Studio, your own company, Le Cirque Center, you again with Alina Senyal, Amuse Zoo, Levity, Duo Finelli, Jules McAvoy Schaefer, Emily Ulrich, Sierra Camille, and Michael Palsowitz.
Mm-hmm. So we've kind of collected people from different regions. It's interesting that the Rogue Valley does have a very eclectic group of people that live here. So you can find physical comedians and humorists in this valley that perform. So, but we've also, my career has taken me many, many different places. So I have contacts and I've taught people. So I have a wide network of resources for drawing people here. And we're trying to start something to make it happen annually. The dream is to have a la what they do in European parks in the summer, to have a big top or a very nice, almost like the original Cirque du Soleil blue tent. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they started in a tent in a parking lot. But if we could go to Lithia Park, somewhere that doesn't compete with OSF, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, there's some nice meadow areas by the Bandshell. To create an event that would happen throughout the summer in a magical way, so people would go into the magical park and enter this tent. There may be only 200 seats, 150, 200 seats, very intimate. This is something they do throughout Europe, and you have an eccentric collection of these performers which take your imagination off into the universe. And I think because Ashland is such a great destination for theater lovers and people who like wine and good food and nature, that would be a great attraction, I think, for Ashland.
So what do you want people to expect when they go in there?
I think that what I want them to expect is they're going to see things that make them feel happy. They're going to see things that that they will be amazed at. They will feel things that speak to who they are through different genres. We have programs. We have three basic programs in the afternoons on the Saturdays. This happens the next two weekends at the Cirque Center in Ashland, which is on Hersey Street. We have a family show in the afternoon, which is tailored to that aesthetic to invite the curiosity of kids and their parents.
And there are some adults-only shows, too?
And then all the way to late night, we have a general audience show at 7:30, and then at 10, the cabaret, a la perhaps what you might have seen in Berlin in the early part of the 20th century. That's a little more risque, a little more edgy, some forms of burlesque in a very tasteful, well-executed way occur, and some surprises along the way.
All right. That is the first ever Lunacy Festival in Ashland this weekend and next. James Donlan is the organizer of it. He is a teacher at Flying Actor Studio. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And here on the phone is Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the exchange with James Donlan.
Good morning. When we just was talking about the clown, I think, especially today, there's a factor that is so essential, that is in history, coming today in history, the clown, the court jester, is the only thing that is left to stand up to power.
Absolutely, this is a...
We have all the comedy shows.
Exactly.
Is what's left to stand up to power, and it's with impunity. The court jester could go up to the most dictatorial ruler and tell him into his face whatever he is, and if he was sacrosanct. Also, there is you talked about the skill level. the physical feats that a clown was, I don't know if anybody's still around who can pile up 50 chairs, climb up, and then fall down, not hurt himself, and everybody finds it funny, and it is extremely philosophical.
Exactly. You know, you're right on with your comments. The people like Stephen Colbert,
Jimmy Kimmel,
these are modern day clowns. What's interesting is because we have a digital age, the feats that the gentleman was just describing still happen, but it's a challenge for live performers to be mainstream with live performance because in order to do that, you do have to train because the magic of TV and film, you know, creates editing and distortions of time and space that are done digitally or by artists in front of a computer. But the live performer is an incredible human being that has, you know, kind of devoted their, if they're good, they've devoted their life to the craft of this fool that can stand up to power and to provide a vista or another view of what's going on in the world today. They say that in times of unrest, politically, socially, that the clown, the fool, the commentator, the experience becomes richer. That they rise to the top just basically, you know, because of what was just mentioned about that ability to celebrate not anarchy particularly. It could go that far, but a sense of freedom of the human being. You know, that's very much a part of it.
I was going to ask if anything in the Lunacy Festival might be
it's Looney too.
Looney too. Okay, good. Might be overtly political, but then it makes me pull back a step and ask how much of it is really scripted versus things that you'll just let happen in conjunction with the audience.
Speaking about this audience awareness, you know, one of the arts of the clown is to or the physical comedian is to be aware of everything, the circumstances happening around you, and you have to deal with that. You have to sense what's going on and know who you are and know who the audience is. There are a couple of pieces in the festival that are political, I would say, but you know, that's the prerogative of the artist, so we're providing a palette of, you know, experience.
Let me hear a little more about your particular act, you and Alina Senyal, and what you do together as a duo.
Yeah, well, I started in 1970. It was interesting that your guest right before this was talking about Oaxaca. I have a lot of experience in Mexico and Europe as a performer because, like I said, a lot of cultures outside the United States still embrace the fool and the physical, the mime, the character who presents the surreal view of the world. So I started in 1950. I was able to tour all over the world with my solo performances. I had companies. You were talking about the circus earlier. I actually was a clown teacher for Ringling Brothers Clown College back in the 70s. You know, they asked me to go on the show, but I decided, no, I'd rather explore my own world, so I went a different direction. Some of the listeners might know who Bill Irwin is. He's a Tony Award winner and a film actor, but also he's won Tony Awards on Broadway for clown shows, basically, within the last 10 years. Alina Senyal is my wife. She's from Cuba. And interestingly, Latin America really feels very strongly about the clown and the surreal. But she was an actress in Los Angeles for many, many, many years, but she has a knack for physicality. So we've become a team. And the great thing about physical theater is you can perform anywhere in the world and there's no language barrier. You know, we use words, but, you know, I'm bilingual, and of course Alina is too, with Spanish. But language becomes a movement, and movement becomes a language because you're working in this genre of communication. And it's visual, and it's the ideas of clarity and musicality and precision and adventure have to be present. And if you do that, you'll be a good speaker, you'll be a good actor, you'll be a good teacher. And, you know, it's the act of communication on a really high level. So I came to SOU for a few years to teach in their acting program. Actually, the woman, Jackie Apoduco, who runs the acting program, is a former student of mine. So she brought me in to help work with the actors. But I've now gone on my way to, you know, create my own world.
And that's at the Flying Actor Studio. Mm-hmm. And so it's a Flying Actor Studio, Le Cirque Center, You and Alina together as a duo, a Muse Zoo, Levity, Duo Finelli, James, Jules McAvoy, Schaefer, Emily Ulrich, Sierra Camille, and Michael Palsowitz. So it's three shows a day today?
Three shows a day. Well, it's two on Friday and three on Saturday, mm-hmm. like this weekend and next weekend. And you can go to lunacyfest.com to get more information.
And how much work did it take to pull all this together? It sounds like you had a lot
Well, there's a lot of enthusiasm in the area. So I have a lot of helpers and assistants. And it's fairly easy to get a cast of performers together. The performance style will be almost like a review, almost like a concert, a music concert. So if you could say this act is a song and then it's followed by this song, so to speak. But it's, you know, it's... It encompasses that same richness of a music concert and its flow and so forth. So you'll see, an audience would see many different acts, you know, in the sense of the old vaudeville, you know, before television. You know, this was the way people entertained themselves. This is the way people, you know, existed in terms of entertainment. Going back hundreds of years.
There is still, I notice every year the Oregon Country Fair brings in vaudeville.
Absolutely. It's very similar to what you might see at the Oregon Country Fair.
Yeah, okay, so we're talking about the Lunacy Festival in Ashland. That is today and tomorrow, and then next Friday and Saturday as well. Le Cirque Center. What's the address on Hersey Street?
I think it's 280 Hersey Street.
Okay.
And it's Le Cirque Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Le Cirque Center. Okay, so yeah. Tickets through there, or you can go to the Lunacy Festival website directly, and that's a link from our page at the Jefferson Exchange at jeffexchange.org. James Donlan is teacher at Flying Actor Studio, organizer of the Lunacy Festival, and a performer as well. Good to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks.
Best of luck.
It was fun.